Welcome back to Sight to the Blind. I have another guest on who's going to share his walk, his journey with the Most High Yahuwah, and the stumbling blocks and pitfalls that he suffered through to stay on this righteous path. Go ahead, introduce yourself, my guest.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Mitchell McDonald, coming from North Carolina. Just want to share my story.
So what is your story, my guy? Because let's start in the beginning when you were in the world. What were some of the things that you thought was normal that you thought that the Most High Yahuwah was going to accept?
Anything and everything, because I did not know. I did not know the Most High. We didn't go to church like that. And when we did, it was during like Easter and stuff. So I never understood like what the pastors were saying, anything like that. Like they'll go off a scripture, off one scripture, and just like, you know, babble on for about an hour and a half or something like that. So, but I thought everything was accepted. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know him. And, you know, I just pray for like what I wanted, but never like being a servant. So I was just doing as I will.
When you read the scriptures, did you have a hard time following it? Like I knew when I was in the world, and even as a young kid, like I just knew that the letters that Jesus was talking about was in red, and everything else is in black. And they try to get you to read, but it's just your brain couldn't understand the King James Version the way it was written. That it either that or we were literally locked out of understanding this spirituality because we were in curses for 400 years in 2016. I mean, to 1619 to 2019. It was like we were cut off from understanding the scriptures. Did you feel the same way?
So when we went to church, the pastor was like, go to such and such scripture. And I would try to do it, but he would do it so fast to where I couldn't even catch up. So I was like, you know, just close it. So I wasn't even introduced. Like, I didn't even start reading the Bible until I met my wife. She introduced me to the Bible, and I read the curse of Deuteronomy. And that's where I knew, like, we were Yah's people.
What age were you, or how long ago did you read the curses?
The curses was in 2018. I met my wife in 2018. So in later that year, like a few months after we started dating, she introduced me to the Sefer, or the Bible at the time, the King James Version. And I read Deuteronomy.
Since you mentioned your wife, did you seek after your wife, or did you know her when you were still in the world? How did you guys meet?
So we met in the gym. I was still in the world. I like to tell this story that I was looking at totally opposite way. I was in a CrossFit gym, and something hit me on my back. I tell people this all the time. They don't believe it, but something like just slapped me on the back. And I turn around. There she go walking in. The light was behind her. I'm like, I don't know who she is, but I got to have her. Didn't no one even know her name. I was trying to find out her name for a bit. But and we started talking then. And she introduced, we started dating like a few months after. We was talking for a little bit, and she was definitely different from all the women I was dealing with. You know, asking questions like that I never even thought of. And she was just different from everybody. And come to find out, she was in the walk. And she wasn't going for no BS, none of that. So I had to get myself together before I could like really approach her.
So she set boundaries.
Definitely. One of the major things was not having sex before marriage. Even though we've all been there, but she like set her boundaries like no more of this. And that's something I abided by. And it taught me something like being able to talk and have a conversation without having sex in the equation. And we did that. We got married in 2020, started dating in like March 2018. And we did have sex twice. But other than that, it was just conversing with one another, you know, telling everything about each other and just getting to know each other through the ups and downs. But that is what allowed us to be here this day.
So you knew off jump, even after the sex, that you were going to marry this woman?
Absolutely. I knew that when I got slapped on the back, whatever it was, there was nobody by me or anything like that. That was Yah telling me this is the woman. I seen her walking in. I'm like, I got to have her.
Let's go a little bit deeper in this, because I got some brothers that contact me that are looking for wives, looking to be a coverer, and they feel like they aren't getting the same push by the Most High Yahuwah to get their household and get their wife, their Ishai. When you looked at this woman, what made her different? Oh, let me start from this. What were the type of women that you were used to?
I would say women that just like was down to get busy. Not in a sense like I'll get to know them, but like sex was a thing that had to happen soon. Like I wasn't like letting that go. And they would always give in. She didn't give in. And that's just, it was layer on top of layer to where I knew she was the one for
And
me.
how did she get you to the point of this awakening? Was it through patience? Was it through the harshness? Or was she just soft in her approach the whole way through to warm you up to the truth?
So we got together in March 2018. I'm pretty sure like within 2 months, she introduced me to Deuteronomy. She's just like, she gave it to me softly. It's like, hey, you should just read this because this is the path I'm on. So I want you to know like who you are. And I read it, and then like there was no going back from there, even though I wasn't obedient till later on. But and all she did was just pray for me. She prayed for me to get on this walk. She had patience.
Was there any stumbling blocks or snares and pits that have you caused strife or whatever because you just wasn't getting it or didn't want to follow her all the way or you wanted to take the reins and be the leader yourself?
So there was some strife with having trying to have sex with her. She wouldn't give in. Like we were going to the going out, come back, you know, we've been drinking a little bit, but not to where we couldn't drive or anything like that. I'm like, we had such a good night, you know, we should be getting it in this night. She was like, no, I couldn't believe it. But like I got over it because I knew this is the woman I wanted to be with. But me getting like right into the word, it took a while. I would read here and there, but it was just like I'm gonna jump forward. Like until I had that stroke, that's when I started being obedient. That was December of last year. So when I had that stroke, that's when I started being obedient because like I felt like I was about to die and I knew I was about to go to Sheol. But all between that time, from 2018 to 2025, all she did was pray. And like there'll be some times where she'll be reading the sefer, and I'll be getting irritated because like, well, I'm inclined now to read, and then sometimes I would read, but I wouldn't understand. Like my ears and eyes weren't all the way open yet, so I would like read to appease, and like we were starting to do Sabbaths, Shabbats, but I wasn't honoring them as I was supposed to, and that also caused judgment upon me as well. So.
We'll get into the whole you about to have a stroke and you almost dying, but I want to break down step by step for brothers who, like I said, are looking for their Ishai and wanting to know what's the signs to look for and what they need to do with themselves. Did you feel like the Most High called you to be a husband? And then if you feel that way, what were some things he had to get you in line with in order for you to have your wife?
To stop being selfish because it was just all about me all the time. And I was very controlling to an extent. But having patience as well, patience with my wife, then girlfriend, waiting until marriage. Also the talking, the conversing, getting to know your woman, see if she's able to be obedient as well. And like I was so controlling, not so controlling, but I was controlling to a point where all I did was make decisions for me and my past flings or whatever. And then I got to the point with her that when we were together, I was like trying to see if she wanted like input on anything. She was like, no, you make the decision. I'm like, oh, okay. Well then, you know, after several times of that, well, I'm just gonna make the decision, you know? And she was basically saying like, I'm gonna follow your lead. You know, she was a major help in this, in all this. So, but a woman that's willing to listen when you're saying something and having patience with you and just going to pray for you, because I knew she prayed for me a lot.
So now that you understood that part of it, moving into it, were you struggling with lust? Were you struggling with backbiting? What were the things that you had to purge out of your ruach in order to fully be in line with the Most High's order.
So porn was definitely one of my vices. It took a while. I would try to do it on my own, trying to purge it from myself. And like it could be something happening with me and my wife, like we get in an argument or something like that, then I'll go back to it. Because it's like a sedative for the moment, numb everything for the moment, stuff like that. And then I kept trying, but I kept going back. And then I couldn't do it without the fear. I was like, I was asking myself, like last year in October or September or something like that, I was asking myself, well, how do you fear the Most High? Because I was starting to read a little bit more. How do you fear him? And then came jumping ahead again, the judgment came. And that's how I know that's how I fear him. Because you don't do this stuff or judgment's gonna come upon you. And it took a while, but I'm here now.
Now we can get into what is the final straw with the Most High had with you that almost had you losing your life?
So I had a lot of judgment on me before, but before I get to the stroke, like it was 2019 during the BLM or 2020 during the BLM. I was going to go to a BLM rally. We was living in California at the time in Sacramento. I was going to go to the rally because I just wanted to support my brothers and sisters. And something was about to get ready to go, and something just like convicted me. Like it was something heavy on my chest and on my body. And I'm like, I just went into the room and was just like somewhat sweating or something like that. I'm like, man, should I not be going or should I be going? And my wife didn't want to go at all because she was in the walk and she already knew, like. So came to the conclusion, I'm like, well, all of a sudden just it came to me. It was like, well, if Yahuwah's not in it, then it's not going there, it's nothing. And that was what I came out of. He convicted me on that. So then a couple of years later, or a few years later, I had some type of brain thing going on. I had some type of real piercing headache that I had to go to the doctors. I've cut my hand plenty of times. I knew it was judgment. Hitting yourself on something, but then the stroke is what actually got me to just be obedient after that. Late at night, went to the hospital because I felt something on my left arm, had the stroke. It was just like I felt nothingness in my body, and all I said to myself was that I'm going to Sheol because I was not being obedient. So that was a scary time. He actually got me through it, allowed me to get through it. I was praying to him after the stroke, and I'm on the path now, being obedient and just moving forward.
Would you do you think there was a different like different sins or vices that he got you for, or was it one particular thing? You're like, all right, I knew that's this is the reason why he judged me.
I think it was a lot of things from my past, fornicating. And one thing I like to go to, because I read it recently, well, like a month ago, well, it was longer than that, but he said to either be hot or cold. And I was lukewarm. And so all those sins added up. The porn added up. The unnecessary drinking added up. Just being disrespectful, all from early on, stealing or however I was, all of it added up to that near-death experience. That's what I believe. I've had many, couple of things in between there, but for me to listen to come to where I am now, it was a stroke for me.
If you have a wife and a woman you lay next to, why did you need porn?
I was addicted to it from, I think I was introduced to it while between like 8 and 10 years old. And I never let it go from there. It's
Who
just
introduced it to you?
I was so my grand you know my grandfather had magazines in his like little den, and we took one of them, and it was a porn magazine, and from there on I was just hooked and couldn't let it go.
So you in school thinking about porn, you in sports thinking about porn, like it was in your was it just in your mind? You in church thinking about porn?
I mean, like in school, yeah, sports, no. I mean, it's like on and off, but it was constant though, and I just could not let it go. Even I would have, relations with women, and I'll still, even after like an hour later, I'm still looking at porn. I'm just like, it's never ending. It's never ending.
Where do you think that generational curse came from?
Definitely from my dad. That's where I think it came from. It's possible my mom, but no. But during the lineage thing, it had to be from my dad. 'Cause I don't even know his dad. And we're trying to find who he is to this day.
How was that dealing with that relationship with your father, knowing that that vice or that curse came from him? How was that relationship with your father during that time of acknowledging it, even if you didn't acknowledge it with him?
So I never really had a real relationship with my pops. He wasn't there when he was young. We got sent over there. I think it was like 14 going into high school, me and my twin brother. And it was just for him. He wanted us so he didn't have to pay child support anymore. So there was never really a relationship ever. It was like the most he talked to us was like on football Sundays or college football Saturdays. Other than that, like we didn't want to be in the house because of the dynamic with his wife, our stepmom, and stuff like that. It was just, but like, I didn't know it came from him until years later, took probably a couple years later. I never told him because I didn't really care to. Like our relationship is not too good because I found out like a couple years ago that he was beating on my twin brother, and like I didn't know because my twin brother was having like some issues and stuff in our 20 late 20s and 30s. He was like going to psychiatric, help and stuff like that. And just like, I'm like, bro, where is all this coming from? And he finally told me that my dad was beating on him. But we in the same household. Like, I didn't know. And he never told me because he said he was too scared. So like, I confronted my dad about it, and he just act like he don't remember. I had my brother on the phone. I asked him before, like, hey, I'm gonna do this conference call with my brother and my sister. I found out he was hitting my sister as well, and he had had a stroke. I think it was the second one. And when I found out, I was still in California. My little sister told me that he was beating on her, and the only reason why I didn't turn around because I just had left his house. I didn't turn around because he already had a stroke, so he's not. If I was going back there to fight him for beating on my little sister, so. But I didn't do it because he had a stroke and his left side is just like no good,
Dang.
so it'd been pointless. And I'm glad I didn't do that because we're supposed to honor our fathers and our mothers, which I read. I'm like, oh, like it hit me like a whirlwind. Like, I'm glad I did not go back,
Right. You have
So
a identical twin brother or a fraternal?
we're
Okay.
fraternal, but we look pretty much exactly alike, so.
So moving forward to the marriage and porn, did your wife ever catch you, or did y'all talk about this of why you keep doing it, or fast? Like, what was the solution to that problem?
So she caught me two or three times, two times for sure. The first time we were just dating, and it was like I was telling her that I'm like, look, I am horny. Like, we need to do something about this. And that's when she caught me the first time, and I was like, but I need to release. The second time we were married, we were living in Nevada at the time, and she just like she felt bad. She was like, we were taking care of her mom at the time because her mom was bedridden. And I'm just like, it was just so much stuff going on. Like it was a lot going on. And we were both like extremely exhausted. I was looking for some type of outlet. Why I didn't go after my wife, because I was still watching porn. So like that was pulling me. And she caught me. She never once like got at me. She was always what is the word I'm looking for? She just like had empathy and was like, just trying to support me in any type of way besides when we was boyfriend and girlfriend. But she caught me twice in Nevada, and she was just like, just had empathy. She's like, no, let's just go do it now. I'm like, nah, it's not right now. Like, we can't do it like this, So, but she never like got at me for it, was mad at me. She's just like, let's just get past this,
And how did you fight it?
I kept trying to stop on my own. And I couldn't stop until the stroke. I literally could not stop till the stroke. And that's when the fear came in. I'm like, I fear him more than I want to do this.
Right.
And that's everything. So I'm not going to do that because of fear. A fear of the Most High. What are you going to do to me?
Right. Do you have kids now?
We have one son. He's four.
Are you worried or terrified that this curse may jump on him?
So I'm doing everything and still trying to do more that I can for it, for that it won't come on him. I pray for it, and I'm making sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing so that it don't go to him at all.
I think that's one of the big things that we have to understand as not only men, but as fathers and husbands, is that our actions do order the entire house. And if we don't clean up our actions, it goes into our children, and our children have to struggle through it. And they never asked, not one time, to harbor those curses or to hold that weight of generations before that couldn't get it right. And I think that's really important. For men who are searching and seeking for wives, and make sure you're in this isolation period for you to not let those curses or anything that you're holding to yourself to pour out on your wife and your wife and your two new children, or if you're going to have children in the future. What were some of the things that you had to do isolated from your wife and your children that you had to do to rebuild yourself as a man?
I had to read. Had to read. I let myself cry to the Most High because I could never do it before. Just being weak for him and letting him come in to me so that I don't stumble. I've even tried it. I even watched porn to see if it'll do something for me. It doesn't. I crave my wife over this stuff. And just talking to my son, because my dad didn't really talk to us, to me and my twins. So talking to my son and just trying to not be like him when it comes to discipline. I told my wife to, check me if I'm like acting like my pops, because I've told her about my dad. So she's checking me, I'm checking myself, and I'm always trying to reevaluate myself daily or weekly or something to make sure I'm in line, so. Because I don't want anything coming upon my son or my wife. Just trying to have our household strong as possible.
And what are you guys doing together as far as feast days, statutes, ordinances? Are you feeling that when you do the feast days from year to year, you get better at it and you feel that love from the Most High? You feel the joy when you do these feast days together?
Yes, over the years, it's been, as of recent, it's been a lot better. We followed for the Southern Hemisphere, of course. The Shabbats, like I wasn't honoring the Shabbats, but I read about the Shabbats, and it's supposed to be a celebration at times, just being the celebration spirit and just leaning on the Most High, thinking about him, talking with him, talking about him in all good ways, and doing our offerings on the Shabbats and on the feast days. The wife, she prepares the feast day, the offering for me. I've been having my son lately, build the fire with me. So yeah, we are following as best we can and just trying to, we play our music, our Yasharel YouTube channel music and our praise music, just to be in the spirit, because it helps us be in the spirit. And it just lets the whole day just go smoothly, we're discussing him and stuff. So we are enjoying it.
You guys have many friends as far as other couples that you can bond with and community with, or you guys are just we together and that's all we need?
So it's just us. We had to get away from our family, because they, not celebrating birthdays and all these other man-made holidays and stuff. And it was best for us to get away from them without me even knowing it. And it's just, my wife, she like implied, like, oh, look, because we're living in Sacramento, California. That's where all my family is, and we had to get away from my mom. I was raised by her only, pretty much, and they have that hold on you. They're not trying to let go. And my wife said, well, let's just move to Reno because we was in between apartments or something like that. And I was like, well, let's do it. And then once we left, I was like, I'll never go back to California ever. So, and then my mom, like having to let go, we've had like my auntie, one of my aunties, like threatened my wife about taking our child from us if we don't let them see him,
Oh, wow.
stuff like that. So it's like, and they haven't even seen him. I'm like, it's I think she was pregnant at the time. I don't think she had had him yet, but it's just a lot of back talking or talking behind our backs from our family and stuff, you know. So I don't really talk to my mom too much anymore. I don't really talk to her
Are
anymore.
you guys good with that? Are you good with like not being, so close to your relatives anymore? I know this walk and it's a strain on the relationships, which is really weird to me because if we are following the Bible and we're supposed to be following something that's so righteous and pure, why are you turning your backs on us? Like, why do you feel that we are so different from what you raised as a person? Like, we got to this point because of you. Like, why would you be mad at that we're growing?
For my family, they don't have that hold on me anymore. They like to be in the know of everything. And then, like, not celebrating the holidays and birthdays and stuff, they took that all the way south. They was not happy about that. I didn't talk to my mom for almost a year because of that. When we saw them, we were following the C for the Bible, the Torah. I've heard like it, you know, when they talk bad about you, it always get back to you. They like said we're in a cult or something like that. I'm like, but we're just by ourselves all the time. So how are we in a cult? We going by the Bible, you know. And we told them this so many times, you know. So I can't care, you know. The last care I had is when I told my twin brother about this walk, and I gave him the Curse of Deuteronomy to read. He never read it. And he's just living, you know, the worldly way. And that was like my final straw with family. So I can't care. You know, we read in the Sefer that they the ones that's gonna turn you in when that time come. So we setting ourselves apart from everybody's. And I told my brother, like, there's gonna be a time where I'm not gonna talk to you like ever again. So he ain't ready yet. I'm like, oh, all right. Like, I don't, you know, when we gotta cut the phones off, turn everything off. Like, you're not gonna be able to contact us because they could be a stumbling block saying, hey, you live here and they live there. Go get them for them to live. That's like how it is. Like, so we can't care. We talk about it all the time.
Now, to go back to how to pick a wife, what was your, I would say, top five things you looked for in a wife when you were in the world? What did she have to do to fulfill this role as wife?
I'm gonna go get the one out of the way. Looks, of course, but being able to hold a conversation for me, will she listen to what I say? Will she respect me? And I don't know what the fifth one was, but she met all those boxes. And like, but she was soft. That's another thing. She had to be soft. I can't be, you know, battling a woman that's a thug, you know. I can't do that. You know, so they classify as ghetto women, but you know, I always steered away from that. It's just, yeah, so but I didn't want to be in arguments with I don't like to argue.
And has
So
any of these 5 points changed when you started getting into the truth and knowing what your role or knowing what the role you wanted for your wife?
nothing has changed. Of course, we get, you know, in little arguments here and there as a, you know, as a couple, you know, as a married couple, even if it was boyfriend or girlfriend. But like, since I've been in the walk, I lead even more. Like, anything new I read, I try to apply it and I let her know, well, I just read this. Let's imply this. Like, one of the, like, I read like Matthew and Mark and Luke, and it's like how to basically not being judgmental because I don't want nobody to judge me. And I talked to her about like we gotta change like our mind frame, and I check myself all the time about it. And so whatever anything new I read, I just try to explain it to her and like how we're gonna move forward. And she's always accepting, and we just try to apply it in daily life.
Was submission easy for her?
Yes and no, because she was one of the women that was like, making money, and I don't know if I want to say like I could do bad by myself. I won't want to say that, but to an extent, and just had that like strong will to just be a successful black woman, I guess, or something. And so like it took her a while to let that down, but she didn't like show it often. She would show it here and there. And then once we had our son, we decided for her to be a stay-at-home mom. And I think that was 2020? No, 2022. And then that's when she started understanding more of how to be a wife and just submitting to me like all the way.
So she would try you because she was making the money.
I wouldn't say it like that. I wouldn't say it like that. It was just like it'd be like random stuff that just come up, and I can't like pinpoint it, but it wouldn't she wouldn't try because she made more money than me, nor did I care. I told her like, you make more money, I don't care. I told her that. So money means nothing. So but so she never threw that in my face, and she was like, try give me her money, or like, spend money on me. That's what she wanted to do. So like the money never made a difference. I could care less.
Why do you think women do that? Why do you think it's in them when they have a successful job and they're getting money and they're making more money than a man? I wouldn't say Jezebel spirit, because not all women have that spirit. But when that ruach comes out of them, they're like, okay, I'm running things, or they're used to being in survivor mode. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's harder for them to let go of that role, especially when you know they need to and they want to? Like, who don't want a soft life? Who don't want to be at home with the kids and, pouring up a cocktail at Wednesday at 3 p.m.? Like, who don't want that life? Like, why do you feel like women are so, it's so hard for women to let that role go?
Because to me, I feel like they've been hurt so much that they can't put their guard down, especially if men is not opening up to them, stuff like that. But if they've been hurt so much, they got that wall up. And my wife had a wall up as well, but just through us dating and like her knowing who I am, and like I'm not about to go out on her or anything like that, like the walls came down. And like she was like the first person I was ever like emotional with, like let in. So they just came down. But it's really because how the past men treated them, I think, and just like the feminism, like they blasted everywhere, be black woman independent and stuff like that. And the music and stuff like that, it just gets in their head and just like turns them. They can't let it go. So they get a
Did you have
man
to
now.
struggle with these walls and breaking these barriers down, or you just loved her so good that she's like, all right, I'll just stay? Like, I mean, to tell a woman to stay at home, I usually they especially if they're making the money, like, that's a hard fight to let them let go of. Was it easy for her, or is because you're loving and you wanting to be the leader and knowing that she was going to be a great husband and a great father, that she was like, all right, I'll take a step back?
I think it was over time while we were dating. And then when we got married, just being consistent, because I really wanted her. I've never had a
No, no,
want
no, no.
for a woman like her.
Repeat what you just said, because that brothers missed out on that point. I don't want to just move past that. Repeat what you said again.
So for me, I really wanted her. I kid you not, when I was in that gym, she came walking in, I knew I had to have her. And as we got to know each other more and more, it just kept stacking on each other. Like I wanted her. I didn't need nobody else. I knew she was the one for me. And so I really wanted her, just wanted to be. And she told me about her past as well, about how the men like did her wrong and stuff like that. And I'm like, that ain't me. That is not me. I want you, and I want you to feel loved and protected. So as we went on in life, I told her basically like, you're gonna be a stay-at-home mom. And she just accepted it.
Because you was consistent.
Definitely consistent.
And that's the key, fellas. That's the key. For your woman to do anything for you, you have to be consistent. If
Yes.
you are consistent with the Most High Yah, you could be consistent with your woman, which I think is easy to be consistent with a woman as far as the Most High, He's the judgment. Like, he is the one that's telling us to do this, this, and this, and it comes with order. So when you are consistent with the Most High, it's easy to be consistent with a woman. And when you're consistent with the woman, you have total peace, righteousness, love. You get anything you want, and you really don't have to bark, yell, raise your hand, and none of that stuff.
I agree. And who allowed me time to love on her, even though I wasn't all the way right. He allowed me that time, and now I'm right. So, but it's just a blessing from him.
Right. Do you feel like he got you to this point because he knew before he woke you up, you was gonna get to this point anyway? Do you ever think about it like, I'm here and not destroyed or divorced or don't have no woman because he actually knew I was gonna make it to this point? Do you ever think of
Absolutely.
that?
Absolutely. His plan is his plan, and we don't know how it's going to be until it just comes about. I believe that wholeheartedly. Me being stupid as I was, just I look at it now like I was a dumbass. That's what I say sometimes. Like, come to all this, so, and then like how easy it is now to like not even watch porn or anything like that. Like, this could have been easy years ago. I tell myself all the time, but this was his plan. For us, we out in North Carolina, the woods are literally right behind us. And like, we have peace following the Most High, doing his law, statutes, and ordinance. Like, we got peace over here. I feel like our house is protected. And like, just nothing bothers us.
Do you have
Calm, cool, collected.
an altar at behind your house or in front of your house?
Yes.
How did you
Yep.
make it? Because most people are confused of how to build an altar for some reason. So explain how you went about finding the necessary tools or materials to build your altar.
So it came about, I forget what scripture it is with the wood and saying about the stone. I'm pretty sure you said it in the episode, which made me go look. And I think I've seen it before, but I didn't recognize it because I was still living in sin. He didn't allow me like to really understand until I was totally for him. So all I did, I went to a store, I mean a place that had all the type of stones, and I made sure I talked to the people that worked there, like, has this been hewn or like worked on or crafted in any type of way? And they showed me which ones that just been blasted pretty much. And I just grabbed those. And what I couldn't, I've seen yours. I couldn't do it like yours because we got too much wind up here.
Also, it'll blow over if.
It'll blow over so easy. We get like 60 mile per hour winds out here. So
Oh,
I had to
wow.
make it like a pit, basically. So all I did was, lay the wood down and had we got I used the dirt from what we have here to, put water in it and then mold it all the way together and just made like three like stacks around. So I got the pit in the inside and then just like the walls around it so
Oh,
I can do it.
nice. And then who picks the offering meat? Do you go with your son and he pick, or is it a thing where you just let the responsibility just go to each person, or you're the main guy that's picking everything?
So I like to pick everything. It's somewhat of a control thing for me.
I feel you, man. You on the right track. You be like, no, I got this. I got this. I know what I'm doing.
Right. So unless like my wife, because like the closest city to us is about 45 minutes to an hour away. So unless she's like already out there, I will tell her like we try to get lamb all the time. We got a butcher that has lamb. If he doesn't, then we'll go with the beef. But we try to get it like 2 to 3 weeks out in advance so that we're not like constantly going to the store. Just us being prepared as possible. But we try to get the lamb all the time. If we can't, we'll go with the beef. But most time I like to go and do it. If, make sure that trip is like, we coordinate everything because an hour away, like we got to make sure we get everything we need so we ain't got to go back out there.
Is there anything in scripture you would say is, I wouldn't say causing a snare or a stumbling block, but it's something that you're struggling with? Maybe not be a commandment or statute or ordinance, but maybe something you're confused about in scripture.
So I can't say yes and I can't say no because I always got questions. I'm like, man, should I email Larry on this or should I just wait? I'm like, I know you got a lot of people, after you, trying to get your trying to get information from you, answers from you. So I just try to keep reading one, I could say one instance about killing someone. And I only say killing someone because, like, in that, we're living in those times now, and it's like surreal to see it now. Like,
Right.
it's about to start getting ugly. And my wife was worried about it as well, about killing someone. Just reading, I came upon, I got it written down because I always forget stuff. Well, I don't know if I have it written down, but oh, Exodus 22, 2 through 3, about the night intruder, where if they enter your household, like you can shoot them, you can kill them.
Right.
And I'm not trying to kill no one. I'm not trying to shoot no one unless the Most High has me to protect my family. But she always worried about that. And I finally found the answer just by reading. Someone break into your house at nighttime, then you have authority to put them down.
Right.
I'm not trying to chase nobody. I'm not looking for no firefight, nothing like that. We got, guns and ammo just for protection only. I'm not looking to kill nobody.
Right.
Me and her talk about that all the time.
But it says in Deuteronomy, even when somebody accidentally kills or something happens, that that person has to flee to the next town over, let it cool off a little bit, and then you can come back. But it says in the commandments, and most people think it says that thou shalt not kill, when it actually means thou shalt not murder. Like, don't murder someone without cause, without reason, and all that. Because obviously, he was okay with us killing people if he's like going to the Canaan, going to the land of Canaan and get these tribes up out of here and
Exactly.
do judgment and don't have no respect of persons. So it's not like the Most High ain't, he's going to be against us putting hands on people. He
Right.
don't want us to do it against ourselves, where you canceling out other tribes' this inheritance, and you get messy with sons and daughters and relatives being all over the place through us murdering each other. And we got into that anyway. We got into murdering each other anyway, and the Most High couldn't stand it. But it when that's a excellent point. When you come with the home defense, that the Most High is going to protect us. Now, if he sends somebody to your house and he wants you to annihilate them, that is judgment. Like, the Most High,
That's
I mean, when it comes to judgment, he allows us to be the battle axe. He allows us to be that right arm for him to dish out judgment, like he did most of these nations that we had to chase off or to destroy. And I think people need to re truly read the book of Jasher, or the book of Yasher, if you have not already, the parts of the four or five sons of Yaakov that went to battle against the Canaanite tribes. I mean, telling you, they went after the whole cities and towns. It
Yes,
wasn't
they
like just
did.
four or five people. It
No.
was people who ain't had nothing to do with their sister being raped, but they destroyed them all because of righteousness.
I tell my wife, because I conceal carry wherever we go. License, of course. And I told my wife, I've told her plenty of times, like, if I ever had to use this firearm, that's judgment on the person that's coming at us.
Right.
As long as we living right, righteously, law, statutes, commandments, if someone come after us, that's judgment on them. And she's comfortable with that. But I hope I've never had to be in that situation. But if it comes, I know why. It's judgment on that person. Before I forget, I wanted to tell you. So my wife is actually the one that does the tent for the separation.
Okay. Ah, let's get into it. Yes, let's get into it. My woman on her period right now.
So she, I think it was like in February when she came to me about it, Leviticus 15 through 33, I believe. And I'm not gonna kid you. At first I was against it, and then like within like 30 minutes to an hour later, I'm like, well, who the heck am I to say no
Right.
of a commandment that Yahuwah has given? And I'm like, why would he, like I said, we live in the woods, bears, coyotes, all the stuff. Why would he forsake her by following the law?
Right.
And I was okay with it then. I was like, you should share this. But she came to me with it because we like to, like, wherever I am in the book right now, always restart. So I'm in like two places. So I keep going, like reading the flow, and I got a backflow. So I'm trying to get it like memorized in my head. Well, I'm trying to learn the word to where it's just in my heart. And she does the same thing. And she brought it to me. Like I said, I was against it at first, and I had to check myself about it. So, but yeah. She does it every cycle. I think it's needed.
Is she out there for like 7 days or like maybe?
Yeah, she's out there for 7 days. If it goes longer, then she's outside longer. She's out there right now.
Oh, is
She's
she?
on a cycle
Oh,
right
so yeah,
now.
y'all sink, babe. His wife is in the tent for her cycle right now. Yeah. So did she build the tent herself or you helped her?
No, so we bought a tent. It was, but of course I help her. Like she tries to like let me know ahead of time. But if it's not, then I help her build a tent, and then we gotta wash, and then we'll only be clean by even. But right now we don't use the big tent too much anymore. It's a hassle. So we have a tent on top of our 4Runner. So it folds out. So that's what she's in right now. So and she's on high ground, which I prefer than being on low ground. But I know she's protected by the Most High because she's following the law, statutes, commandments. But just me being a husband, I'd rather have her on high ground than low ground. So.
So how was that? When this is her what, first time doing this, or she done this already multiple times?
Since I think it was February, so she's done it multiple times.
How was that? Like, as a man, as an adjustment, you lose your wife for 7 days. Like she's just out there. Like y'all texting each other and it's
Yeah, well, I mean, we're always talking. And by let's just get this out the way. By the time she get back, I'm like, I just want you even more. Been out there. But like we're always texting and call. I'm just like trying to see like how she's doing out there and stuff. And I'm like, I keep my phone on ring because it's always on silent. I'm like, call me if anything. We got the cameras out there and stuff too, so I'm like always looking and stuff. But I mean, for me, it's like more work because I got my son. We got our son. So I'm doing all the cleaning, the cooking, all the stuff. But I mean, it is what it is. It's just for a week.
And it's funny that you mentioned like when she comes back in, like you, it's just that why do you think the Most High did this? You think he did it because he just wanted women to be separated and let them go through the thing alone? What do you think the reason for the separation was?
I know for a fact it's because their hormones. It is 100. I ain't gonna say 100, but that's one of the major parts because I think just recently, because we're trying to have another child, but I don't think it's gonna happen. But we're not sad about it. It's the Most High's way. So if he wants it, it'll be. If not, it's okay. But lately, she started to be moody when it's about to come on, and she was never like that. So as we get older, I guess it's like coming upon her now. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like you can't do nothing right. I mean, you see those memes or those reels, like they looking at you like you sitting on the couch drinking some water and they looking at you like throwing daggers. I'm
You don't
like, I
say.
can't do nothing right. I told her, I'm like, can I not do nothing right while this is happening? She's like, no, you can't. I'm like, oh, please go in the tent. Please. So I just take it as it comes. She's like, she tries her best to like, not to show it, but I think we need to be separated during that time for
Good,
sure.
good. We're almost at the end of the show, and this is where I give the guest to give them words of wisdoms of brothers or sisters that's in the situation that you are in or coming out of situations that you used to be in, and how to deal with being in this walk, leaving family members behind, finding your wife, changing your vice over to righteousness and uprightness. What would be the words of wisdom that you can lay out for the assembly?
So my main reason wanting to share my story is because you either be cold or hot. You cannot be lukewarm because that judgment is no joke. And I am the living person for that. There's plenty of other people, but I almost died. Please, if you want to follow the Most High, follow him. If you're not, then you're not. Repentance is useless if you keep sinning. It's useless. If y'all know the truth, follow, please. Men. Abstain from sex if you dating a woman. See if you can talk to her. Y'all have conversations. See if she can be obedient and soft and hold conversation with you to know that she is the one for you. Men that are married, pray for your wife. I don't want anyone divorcing. Please just you stay steadfast in your walk. If they're having troubles following you, stay fast in your walk because they gonna notice it. And just pray for them and they'll come around. That's what I got to say.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for this conversation. It's much needed to the called out assembly of those who are going through the vice, especially when it comes to porn and being married and learning how to get that vice and purge yourself of your flesh and turn yourself around for righteousness' sake. And you're the first guest I had on here, damn near being young. Like, how old are you?
I'm 38 now.
And going by the going through a stroke, like how old were you when you had the stroke?
37.
So that ain't too far removed. You still in that fear today.
I'm like, he was slow to anger.
Very
Slow to anger
slow.
all that time. So like, please, like, don't let him be slow to anger. Just turn now. It's pointless. It's
Right.
pointless.
Thank you, my brother. I'm glad you we were able to redo this show. We did this show earlier, guys. We did this show earlier, and the audio was all messed up. So I'm glad we were able to get this show out there. The brother had infinite wisdom when it comes to relationships and turn it over to the Most High, especially developing that fear that all of us need to understand to stay in this walk. Thank you, my brother.
Yep. Shalom, Brother Larry. Have a good one.
You too.